for being among us, especially if you're visiting with us today. You might want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading something from there in just a minute. Before we start the lesson this morning, I feel like I need to give an introduction to my introduction. So that's what's going to happen for the next couple of minutes. Certain lessons, you sort of have to explain why you're approaching them in the way that you're approaching them so that they can be taken, I think, the way they should be and taken seriously. We just sang a song about the fact that we can be, our souls can be mended and whole through Jesus Christ. He is the great physician. He heals our spiritual sicknesses. Sin is serious. Jesus came and sacrificed Himself, as we sang in that song, really. Gave Himself for us because of sin. He came into the world to save sinners. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, sin sent Jesus to the cross. And so sin is a serious thing. And sin is likened to sickness in Scripture. One passage that does that is Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 1, verse 4 says, "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment." And so here the national sins of Israel are being compared to serious sicknesses. Many times in Scripture, inspired writers or speakers will take common physical things and compare them to spiritual realities to help us better understand those spiritual realities. That's what Jesus did in the parables. That's what's going on here. It's a powerful way to look at things and to help us understand things. Let me say one more thing before I get into my introduction. And that is that sin is serious. Sin can be compared to illnesses, to sickness. And sin is something we constantly need to be warned about. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to exhort one another daily, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And he's talking to believers there. We need daily reminders about the seriousness of sin. We need daily reminders about the need to overcome sin and deal with it in our lives and what it is and how bad it is and all of that. Exhort one another daily, lest anyone be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I remember an old Andy Griffith episode, one of my favorites actually, because it has that they're going to church. And Barney is sitting there listening to the sermon. They've got a visiting preacher from New York or something, and he's preaching some flowery philosophical lesson that's just really, really supposed to lift everybody up. And Barney's sitting there in services going to sleep, you know, just nodding off, and it shows him and doing all that. And then shows after the church service is over, then Barney comes out, and he's shaking hands with the preacher, and he says, "That was a great sermon, preacher. That's one subject you just can't talk enough about, sin." And of course, the preacher had said nothing about sin in the whole lesson. But I agree with Barney. That's one subject you can't preach enough about, and that's sin. There used to be a country song a few years ago. A fella sang, "I ain't never had too much fun." Well, I ain't never preached too much about sin. I don't think you can do it. All of that to lead, everybody got all that in your heads right now? Okay. Sin is like a kidney stone. Sin is like a kidney stone. Now, some of you may have had kidney stones. I have not, to my knowledge, had a kidney stone. one of the most painful physical experiences that you can go through according to the testimony of all who have had them. The discomfort is virtually unbearable. Some people who have had them and who have also had babies have said that the pain of a kidney stone is worse than the pain of having a baby. That's their own testimony. I believe that there are some ways in which a kidney stone is like sin. And based on all of the principles that we just talked about in my pre-introduction, I want to tell you that sin is like a kidney stone. No one in their right mind likes a kidney stone. No one would like to have one. And no one should like sin either. This morning I want us to think about this parallel. A little kidney stone can cause a lot of pain. We sometimes talk about little sins and big sins, and there are senses in which that's legitimate. There are greater sins the Bible talks about, so on and so forth. But it doesn't matter what kind of sin you're talking about. All sin separates us from God, and a little sin, just like a little kidney stone, can cause an awful lot of pain in a person's life. Now, there's a picture on the screen. What you're seeing there in the heading next to sin is like a kidney stone is a picture of a kidney stone. Now, it's one that's been magnified many, many times. It's this particular stone was very, very small. But you can imagine having something like that that's made out of calcified minerals sitting up in your kidneys and then trying to pass through your urinary tract and the kind of pain that a person would feel from that. A tiny little stone can literally bring a person to their knees, completely helpless with pain. Some of these stones are so small that they're difficult to see with the naked eye, and yet they cause this degree of pain. In the 31st Psalm in verse 10, David talking about his sins, he says, "My life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength also fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away." He's saying my sin is painful. It hurts when I think about it. It causes me grief. Sin, unless your conscience is seared or not working properly, sin should and ought to cause you pain. Spiritual pain, emotional pain. Sin is painful. And it hurts in other ways as well. It causes all sorts of other kinds of problems. You can consider Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. What was their sin? Well, they told a lie that most people today would have just called a little white lie. They said they'd sold land for so much and they gave it to the work of the Lord, when really they kept back part of the price of it. And again, most people today, well, that was just a little white lie. But it was a serious thing. It certainly caused them a lot of pain, as both of them were stricken dead as a consequence of it. Fear came upon the church as a result of it. And that's just one of many, many examples we could look at in Scripture where some sin that somebody thinks isn't that big a deal, starting with the Garden of Eden, how big a deal is it really to take a piece of fruit and eat it? You ever thought about that? And we consider that, well, that's just a little thing. How much pain has that caused to Adam, to Eve, to all of humanity, as death enters the world through that sin? One sin can cause you as much damage to your soul as 1,000 sins. And in that sense, one is as bad as another. James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 10 that whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, guilty of all. One little sin, like one little kidney stone, can cause a lot of pain. And the thing about kidney stones is, you can have one, and the pain can disappear for a while as the stone moves around. At least that's what I'm told. You'll have somebody who's just in excruciating pain. Oh, they just can't stand it anymore. get this thing out of me, and they'll head to the doctor and the thing will move and all of a sudden they'll be just feeling fine. And 2 hours later it hits them again. That's how sin can be. The pain can disappear for a while. We can soothe our conscience or forget about, and then later on, maybe days, years later, some night, in the middle of the night, we wake up and we remember this sin and what a terrible thing it is, and it just brings us to tears. And we haven't taken care of it yet. It's really still in there. We haven't gotten forgiveness for it. The pain of sin may subside for a while. We may relegate it to an area of unconsciousness for us. We may become callous to it. We may become hardened to it. But it's still there. And it can still work damage. And it can still cause pain. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 12, Jeremiah asked concerning the way the people there were feeling about their sins. He says, were they ashamed that they had committed abomination? No. No, they weren't ashamed. They weren't feeling the pain of the sin anymore, but that doesn't mean the sin wasn't there. He says they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall in the time of their punishment. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. Just because, you know, you've forgotten about the seriousness of your sin, just because the pain of it isn't there with you anymore, if you haven't gotten rid of the sin, you're still going to have to suffer the consequences. So just because your conscience has eased, if you haven't taken care of that sin, if you haven't gotten forgiveness for that sin, don't kid yourself into thinking that everything's okay. Sin can do a lot of damage. A kidney stone can do a lot of damage. People have been known to lose a kidney or have other permanent damage from stones that are left alone. In some cases, of course, it can cause death. Sin, if left in the heart, continues to do more damage in our lives. Look back with me to the Epistle of James in James chapter 1 and verse 13, where James talks about the process of sin. He says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't be deceived about the progressive nature of sin and its ultimate consequences. Paul, in thinking about sin in his life in Romans chapter 7 and verse 11, said that sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. You can be killed by a kidney stone and you can sure be killed by sin. For the wages of sin is death. Sin, please understand the seriousness of this. Sin does not leave us like it found us. Sin does not leave us like it found us. You're going to be in worse shape. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be dying. It can do a lot of damage. And it can be painful to get out. A kidney stone can be very painful to get out. Whether it passes naturally or they have to do some sort of procedure. Used to be much of the time they'd have to go in, perform an operation to remove a kidney stone. I have a cousin who has some sort of medical condition. They really haven't been able to explain it. Who has kidney stones on a regular basis. I don't know how many she's had, but I think it would be well within the mark to say somewhere around 100 kidney stones in her lifetime. Also, have a brother in Christ out at New Georgia who regularly had kidney stones, and I think he was up to 40 at last count that he'd had in his lifetime. All very painful. You go through excruciating pain to get them out. The process is something like the process of trying to get out sin, described by David in Psalm 38. Listen to what he says. Let's read several verses together. Psalm 38 in verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, and no health in my bones because of my sin. David was feeling the pain of sin and the weight of his guilt being pressed upon him by God, the righteous judge. He says, For my iniquities have gone over my head, in verse 4. Like a heavy burden they are, too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. Here's David in the pain of sin. Look at verse 17. I'm ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. Here's David in the pain of sin and in the process of repentance, realizing how terrible his sin is, experiencing godly sorrow for his sin, and wondering what in the world he can do to get rid of this pain, what in the world he can do to get rid of this stone. And the conclusion in verse 18 is this: I will declare my iniquity, and I will be in anguish over my sin. Sin is often a painful thing to get rid of. Because you have to own up to it, you have to admit it. You have to confess it, the Bible says. You have to feel godly sorrow. I heard a sermon a couple weeks ago by Wes Brown over at Jackson Drive, one of the finest sermons I've heard on 2 Corinthians 7. Godly sorrow produces repentance, and what godly sorrow is. David is finding all about godly sorrow in the 38th Psalm. It's hurting him, but he's got to get that sin out. Which would you rather do? Live with your sin? Or go through the temporary pain of being sorry about it, confessing it openly, acknowledging it to God, and getting forgiveness for it? Get it out. Get it out. You may be made to feel embarrassed to confess your sin. It may be that you think that other people will be looking down on you to confess it. David had some of that feeling himself. Psalm 69, verse 10, he says, When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. People were talking bad about David because of the sins he was confessing, because of the way he was trying to straighten out his life. I've had people say, Well, I want to get my life right, and I need to confess my sins, but I don't want people to look down on me. What? Would you rather live with your sin? And most of the time, people, especially the Lord's people, aren't going to look down on you anyway, because they're in the same boat you are, going through the process of getting sin out of their lives. Now, I want to tell you something. Once you've gone through that process as a child of God and you've confessed that sin, you've acknowledged it, you've taken it to God, you've turned away from it, you've gotten forgiveness for it, or as one who has not been a child of God and you've had sin in your life and now you become a child of God and that sin is taken away and you're washed in the blood of Christ, once it is gone, the relief is fantastic. I've had conversations with people who've been suffering with a kidney stone maybe for weeks at a time. It's put them in bed. It's put them in the hospital. Finally, the incredible pain is gone. The feeling of relief. All of a sudden, there's no pain. All of a sudden they feel like doing everything they ever could before. It's wonderful. It's a load off their mind. They're out of the hospital. They're back home. They're back to their normal activities. Total relief. And so it is with sin. The relief and joy at the removal of sin are just beyond description. I can remember back in my life at times when I experienced joy beyond description. And I know many of you, as you think back over your lifetimes, can think of wonderful things that have happened in your life, great blessings you've enjoyed. And I want to tell you what, I never felt better. And I know this is true of probably every Christian in here. About myself, about my relationship with God, I never had more joy than the moment I came out of the waters of baptism. It says about the eunuch that he went on his way rejoicing. We who are Christians have experienced that. To be clean. To finally be rid of this sin that has caused so much pain. Peter tells the Jews in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, in that sermon in the temple, he says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Times of refreshing indeed. When we feel so wonderful, so fantastic. That the sin is blotted out. That the stone is gone. And that we are free in Christ. But let me share with you these warnings. There's a chance that it'll recur. There's always a chance that you'll get another kidney stone. Once you've had one, in fact, scientists say that there's a 50% chance that you'll have another one within 5 to 10 years. Once you've had one, there's an 80% chance that you'll have another one within your lifetime. Sin, the chances are a lot higher. Once you sin, there's about a 100% chance you're going to sin again. There's always a chance it's going to come back. And so what you have to do and what I have to do in dealing with our sins is strive with all that we have every moment of every day to make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing to keep sin from coming back. People who've had kidney stones, sometimes they go on special diets or change habits and so on and so forth in order to try to do things to prevent those from coming back. We would just do anything that we could do to keep sin from returning if our attitude about it is right. Colossians chapter 3, if we've been raised with Christ, we need to put to death our members that are on the earth. Verse 5 says, such things as fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. You're feeling like a new man once that sin is gone. You want to keep on feeling like a new man. Put to death those sins. Don't let them come back in your life. Crucify those sins with that old man. Do whatever you can do to keep it from recurring. We need to understand that anyone can have a kidney stone, and anyone with a kidney anyway, can have a kidney stone, and anyone with a soul who's of accountable age can have a sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A kidney stone, if you have one, you can try dealing with it at home, but I would highly recommend, and I think most medical professionals recommend, that you have a doctor look at that or go see a doctor about it. Sin is especially that way. We can't deal with sin on our own. We need to see the great physician. Those who are well have no need of a physician, Jesus said, but those who are sick and sin is sickness, we need Him to help us rid ourselves of the sin. This morning as we close, I just want to encourage you. Sin is serious. Sin is painful. But you can get rid of it. Because we have a great physician. Allow Jesus to be your doctor. Let Him be your cure. He is ready and willing to forgive. He is ready and willing to remove the stone. But you have to seek the remedy. If you've never been a Christian, you need to become one to experience the blood of Christ. Take the prescription by believing and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ. Won't you do that this morning? Or, if you have sin in your life and you're a Christian, no better time than right now to come and confess that. It may be painful. It may be hard to do. But it's a lot better than living with the pain of sin. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.